Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. General, I understand that the Air Force medical service is structured differently than the medical services of, say, the Army and the Navy. Could you tell us more about this structural difference and what your view is on the best balance strategy to fit your operations?
The Air Force Medical Service doctrinally supports airspace and cyberspace missions. The Army supports ground maneuver. The Navy supports the forces at sea, both sub and surface, as well as the littoral forces, the Marines. And each one of those is doctrinally different and requires a different approach to supporting that doctrinal capability. For we in the Air Force, in executing the airspace and cyberspace mission, we use every one of our wings and our bases as an operational platform. For example, we deliver strategic deterrence from F.E. Warren in Cheyenne, Wyoming, standing missile alert. We deliver space operations from Peterson Air Force Base, managing the satellite constellations and our capabilities in the space domain. And we deliver global mobility from Charleston, from Travis, from a variety of places. So each one of our bases and our wings are literally an operational platform. And our medical support of that operational platform is woven into that wing structure, working for that wing commander, that line commander. So for us, doctrinally, Air Force medics work for the mission commander, the line of the Air Force. The Army and the Navy are structured somewhat differently in terms of the medics also working for the wing commander, but tending to work through other medics to do that. Works very well for them. Doctrinally, it's very coherent, very sound. Our approach works very well for us, so it's not a matter of good or not good. It's a matter of different for very important doctrinal reasons.
So with this perspective, could you tell us a bit more about your unique capabilities, the Air Force's unique capabilities, in areas such as expeditionary medical support, or EMEDS, and the aeromedical evacuation? Specifically, how has this capability changed over the past 6 or 7 years, and how successful has it been in areas like Iraq or Afghanistan?
I think to really understand that, we need to go back even further and go back to the Cold War. The fact was we were attempting to contain those forces, communism and others, that could potentially threaten our national interests. When the wall came down in Germany, we moved from a strategy of containment to a strategy of engagement, wherein we look to more globally engage with friends and allies around the world and to be able to respond globally to any particular area of concern and do it in a real-time way, which obviously is the capability that the Air Force brings. So as we transitioned our medical forces during the Cold War, we had very heavy, very far-forward positioned contingency hospitals, turnkey operations that were designed to operate in place to take care of casualties and then only transition back to the United States if the condition required it or time permitted. When the wall came down and we went to a strategy of engagement, we became a much more expeditionary Air Force, globally engaged. We in the Air Force Medical Service made that transition as well. We moved from relatively heavy fixed capabilities to very light, lean, modular, very capable modules that we could employ, put in place. We could stack them, use them separately, provide whatever capability that was required, sort of right care, right time, in the right place. That allowed us to engage globally. But when we think about putting these light, lean, modular assets forward, we also need to have that lifeline home that allows us to stabilize a casualty or someone who is ill far forward, but then bring them back to definitive care very quickly and very safely. And our air evacuation system gives us that capability. So what we have today with our expeditionary medical capabilities is our ability to put light, lean, modular assets far forward where they're required and then bring anyone who is ill or injured home safely, real time to definitive care. In terms of economy. It is very effective. It's cost effective. It preserves forces. And it allows us to respond to virtually any contingency anywhere in the world.
Can you give us a real live example of how this would work?
Well, if you think about our war on terror and our activities in Iraq and Afghanistan, our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines far forward are in fact experiencing significant injuries as a result of the weapons that are being used, improvised explosives, for example. With our theater hospital forward in Balad in Iraq and our theater hospital forward in Bagram, these Air Force theater hospitals serve as the hub for a joint theater trauma system, which is made up of Air Force, Army, and Navy capabilities, all leveraged together to support their doctrinal missions, but come together to form a joint theater trauma system. When a soldier or a Marine or an airman is injured, their life is literally saved by far better first aid capability forward, better equipment, hemostatic bandages, one-handed tourniquets, better training for the Navy corpsmen, the Army medics, or Air Force PJs that are providing that first aid, and the ability to get those injured individuals to that damage control surgery, for example, at Balad. Once that patient is stabilized, then the patient is packaged for AirEvac, literally, put into the AirEvac system with a critical care team, transported to Launchstool, and then retransported onto the States when appropriate, or if it's appropriate to transport directly from Balad back to Washington or San Antonio via our aerial refueling capability. So this scalable modular lean capability allows us to move casualties from point of injury back to definitive care on average within 3 days, which is by any regards remarkable. Even as recently as the Gulf War, it was averaging probably 12 to 14 days to get someone injured home. So I think you can see the effect of that kind of system.
That's a phenomenal statistic, absolutely phenomenal.
General, that is very impressive. And you talked a little bit about some of the challenges and solutions you've put in place with getting airmen back to the point of care that is best for them as quickly as possible. Are there lessons that you've learned in the recent past that allow you to move forward in a way that better suits the airmen?
I think the lessons that we have learned certainly as Air Force medics, but I think also as joint medics with our Army and Navy counterparts. For example, this joint theater trauma system that's present in Iraq has a joint theater trauma registry, which basically records all injuries, all aspects of injuries, so that we are able to not only provide the care, but we're also able to examine the care to see where improvements could or should be made, to do the research that will help take us forward in terms of providing that cutting-edge battlefield care, and also to transition that knowledge to our private sector and academic counterparts, so that as we do learn how better to manage the kind of trauma that we're seeing, that knowledge and those capabilities are transited into both academia and research for the utilization of all physicians wherever they may be encountering trauma. So it's one of those aspects of war which allows us to use that knowledge to further medicine in all regards. We would much rather not be engaged in that if we didn't need to be, but given that we are, we certainly want to be sure that not only do we improve the care that we provide all our servicemen, but that we share that knowledge with all our medical counterparts.
Great. Thank you, General. I'd like to switch to information technology discussion for a moment. The AFMS was recognized as the winner of the 2007 Microsoft Health Utilization Group's Innovation Award for Performance Reporting. Would you tell us more about the AFMS investment in innovative informatics and give us a sense of how your portfolio of informatic tools ensures delivery of high-quality care?
Well, informatics and the systems that all our information ride on really is the, if you will, the lifeblood of medicine, because the information is absolutely key. Patient information, research data, the ability to move information from point to point, is all critical to providing really high-quality care. We have really leveraged the capabilities of some incredibly bright and dedicated Air Force medics that have taken this on as a challenge to both improve the quality of the data that we have, but also the utilization and transmission of that data and the transition of that data into information, usable information. The award that Microsoft presented was earned by people who are taking a very critical look at the care that we provide every day, all aspects of that care, the timeliness, the quality, all elements of that care, and then parsing that information, reassembling it in ways that allow us to assess the quality and also to improve in those areas where we are able to move forward on that information. So we're very proud of that. But at the very basic level, the ability to capture information and move information in an electronic healthcare record, for example, or in an electronic database that allows us to access and mine that data to assure that we are able to improve quality or do research as required is very important to all military medics. In our work with the electronic healthcare record and being able to transition that information, for example, to the VA, so that when a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine may become ill or injured in Iraq and is cared for in Iraq, the information surrounding that episode of care now is able to be captured and transited to each point of care along the way, whether it's Landstuhl, Bethesda, Walter Reed, or a VA, so that we can assure that all the information necessary for that episode of care is available. Now, I will tell you that electronic healthcare record and the transmission of data is by no means perfect or where we want it to be, but it is evolving. We are making significant improvements, and we're absolutely committed to assuring that both the information for the episode of care, but also the transportability of that information to other providers that will need to know that as they continue to care for that individual is also available. That is a point of great interest and key concern for all of us within military medicine and VA medicine, I would add.
Now, General, we've talked quite a bit about Iraq and Afghanistan, but in fact, your Air Force medics are engaged globally with allies supporting a variety of humanitarian missions and responding to a variety of disasters around the world. Could you elaborate on some of the involvements that your organization has in some of these global efforts?
Yes, thank you. Our Air Force medics are very deeply engaged with medical activities around the world. It's important as we work with our friends and allies around the world that we work with them in the medical realm as well, sharing information, working on training medics from emerging nations that we would much rather be our friend and ally as time goes on. Using medicine as that first step forward to build relationships is something that we feel has great value, and Air Force medics are out there doing that. In addition, around the world, we also support a variety of activities. Operation Deep Freeze in the Antarctic, for example, the Air Force and Air Force medics facilitate the work that's being done and getting personnel and capabilities back and forth in support of that activity. When there's a shuttle launched or a Soyuz recovered, there's Air Force medics along the tracks to assist if required. When we have the opportunity to work with nations around the world in order to learn and better understand their medical systems and also to understand medical issues of interest to us all, for example, pandemic influenza or malaria or other infectious diseases that continue to emerge or reemerge around the world, our folks are out there working with those nations to better understand, to learn, and to leverage all our capabilities to the betterment of all concerned, and working with our Army and Navy counterparts who also do a good bit of that work around the world in a way that I think serves our national interests, but also serves very well our friends and allies.
Fantastic. What are some of the innovative treatments for traumatic brain injury? We will ask Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.